Today is the fifth and final Sunday in this series that we've been looking at throughout the month of September around cultivating our ministries in terms of how we lead and live our call as servants in the field of life for Christ in these days. Cultivating our ministry in terms of allowing the Holy Spirit to refresh us and renew us on how we think and how we move and how we respond to the landscape that we are called to care for. I want to make sure that everyone has a sticky note in their bulletin. We will need this a little bit later. And that you may want to start looking towards having some writing utensil. If you need one, raise your hand, and the ushers in the back can make sure we grab some for you too if you don't. We have been gleaning. That process of collecting from what is graciously and freely offered as gifts from God. We have been gleaning from the letters of James, the brother of Jesus, and Mark, the second writer of the Gospels. And from conversations and reflections, I have discerned that it has indeed been fruitful and faithful for folks, bearing truth and hope, conviction and correction, reorientation and connection. We explored through the words of James that real religion isn't about hearing the word. Real religion, real life in relationship with the divine is about doing and reflecting of what we're called to live out when it comes to our faith. Let's be clear again, as I said in that first sermon, this isn't about works righteousness in the sense that the stuff that you do gets you points for God. It is about the stuff that you do reflecting the gratitude you have for the God that allows you to do it. Amen? We spoke about the power of hospitality and how we should not see through the lens of power and privilege and money as the world does, but we should see the other through the lens of each and every person bearing the image of Christ. Therefore, each and every person should have the sacred place amongst us. We also heard from Mark as he offered to us correction and invitation through the journey of Jesus Christ with his disciples. Jesus invited all of his followers to be able to say with some clarity, "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus asked them to be able to articulate who it is that Jesus was to them. Beyond what the world said, "Who do you say I am?" was the question that Jesus placed before his disciples. We live our relationship out of how we answer that question. Amen? We live our relationship with Christ in the ways that we understand, however imperfect. We live out our ministry, our desire to share this Jesus that we have come to understand in some way, shape, and form by who we understand Christ to be. In other words, what we share is from what we know. Your ministry, the ability for you to live as a follower of Christ, is heavily directed and dependent on the depth of that connection. So weeks later, I come again with this invitation to really have an answer to that question. The invitation is to write it out if that is the medium for which it works for you. Some of us like to write it out in words. It helps you to get some clarity. Amen? Now, some of us, like myself, I am a verbal processor. So sometimes it's a good conversation with someone else that helps me to be able to understand exactly what it is that I believe. Sometimes, when my insecurities are so grand that I can't even dare to share it with another person, it is just that process of praying it aloud. God, Christ Jesus, this is who I see you as. Whatever the medium, the invitation is before you yet again to be able to answer the question of who do you say Christ is, this is fundamental to your ministry, to your ability to lead and live and to share and lead others in the journey. For indeed, we are all leaders in some way, shape, or form. We all participate in systems, whether it's family or work or school, where we have the opportunity to lead and connect with others. Amen? Because we do engage that question, we're better also able to understand what it means to carry the cross of Christ, living and leading in our days, in this time. Our ability to understand what it is to sacrifice for Christ, to be bold in our offering. Our scriptures have led us through these conversations, and we have gleaned further connection with who God is. And then last week, we slowed down with the disciples as they walked along the road to Capernaum. And we experienced what it was like to be silenced by hard realities. Jesus had said, I am going to die. They are going to kill me, and in 3 days I will rise again. And to that hard, hard reality, the disciples responded in silence. They were frightful. The call to ministry at times, following this Jesus at times, can indeed be frightful. Amen. But we were invited. Just like the disciples, when Jesus slowed down with them, invited a little one to come close, they were invited, and we are invited to make the way clear for children and those who are often minimized and marginalized, to make clear the way for both them and ourselves to have connection with Jesus right in the midst of our fears, right in the midst of our uncertainty, right in the midst of our vulnerability. Jesus chose to bring a little one, a child, close and in the middle, to depict the beauty of vulnerability. For indeed, if you are around children, you know they like to ask a lot of questions. Most clearly when they are afraid. Lest we, like the disciples, fall into a space of judgment with those we are called to walk alongside. All of those steps have been on our path and have brought us to today's final lectionary scripture in our series. And it begins, John said to him, that is to Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. While I want so much to be fair to John, I have to admit I cannot hear the scripture without hearing a little bit of a whine in his voice. Jesus, teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name. We tried to stop him because he wasn't following us. Well, in worst case scenario, we have some type of spiritual tattletaling going on. Not outside of their character, as most recently they were in conversation around which one of them is the greatest. I'm sensing they could indeed learn a lot from children. At worst, it is this spiritual tattletaling. Someone's doing what they're not supposed to be doing. But at best, my most gracious self, John was laying the path for us Presbyterians, who indeed are known for our decently and in order. Maybe he just wanted to make sure that there was some type of protection around Christ's name. Maybe he was being protective in the ways that we can be around something we think is precious. Amen. But while our scriptures are broken up into this piece from last week with Jesus bringing the little one forward, in reality, these are all one long story from last week to this week. So that same child was in the area in this moment, and I cannot imagine, like in my mind's eye, I just imagine Jesus just going, did you really? Because while I'm confident that John expected one outcome of this telling, I think we have to be honest that at times we draw lines as to who's supposed to do what, not because of a desire to be decently and in order, but an actual desire to control what is happening. Amen? And while I am confident that there is a desire to protect, there's a stronger tone of a desiring of control and power, because the concern wasn't that the people were casting out demons weren't following Jesus. That's not the reasoning he gave for why he tried to stop the person. It says, we tried to stop him because he was not following us. Now, well, it might well be that that us includes Jesus. It is clear that Jesus is teaching to the disciple and to us is that the call is not for us to be followed, but for Jesus to be followed. I imagine John expecting to get a pat on the back, or at least to see Jesus get angry enough to turn over some more tables. But instead, the scripture continues. Jesus says, do not stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will very soon afterwards speak evil of me. And then words that go against our current culture. Whoever is not against us is for us. See, we tend to think of folks or situation as whoever is not for us is against us. That's a very different statement. Jesus said, whoever is not against us is for us in this passage. For truly I tell you, whoever gives a cup of water to drink when you bear the name of Christ, will by no means lose the reward. In other words, it's not about getting the check and agreement from other folks sometimes in order to do the right thing in the name of Christ. And that there isn't a punishment for doing so. Dr. Sharon Ring, Professor Emerita of New Testament at Wesley Theological Seminary in DC, shares that for the listeners of Mark, they connected this name to the power and identity of Christ. This means that we have the ability in our actions to reveal and reflect and be the naming, and to name that Christ is indeed still present in the world when we do the work of following Jesus. This is a call for our discipleship that is marked by the way we live out our ministry. This has implications on how we navigate the diversity of theological perspectives within the church universal. We need not, and I repeat it because it has happened in this place, we need not bash other workers in the field for Christ because we are not like them and don't see it the exact same way. It didn't need to happen then, and it doesn't need to happen now. Amen? And if you can't say amen, you can say ouch. To do so creates a stumbling block. It becomes a distraction, amen? It becomes something to have to work over, amen? For us and for others who may indeed desire to follow this Christ, but I guarantee you there are more people turning away from the church, from the way church people are treating church people, than the good work that we are doing in Christ's name. Jesus continues. If any of you put a stumbling block before the little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you that a great millstone were hung around your neck and thrown into the sea. Now I have to stop, put a pause in this sermon to say something very clear. I do not believe Jesus is calling us to self-hurting ourselves. I do not believe Jesus is calling us to suicide. In this day and time in which life is precious and we serve a God who is of abundant life, hear that clearly, that your life has value, that your life has purpose. The call is to know that you can live your life differently. Amen. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better that you enter life maimed than have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. I'm going to slow down again there. Hell. 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 Worth unpacking for several sermons. But I want to slow down and give a very simple definition that helps us to encapsulate what hell is. It is less about a location, a geography, a spot. It is about an infinite chasm between ourselves and God, an infinite chasm between ourselves and humanity, an infinite chasm between what it is God would have us to do and be in relationship. Hell is the absence of relationship with the one who has called you, named you, and claimed you as your own. That is hell. And when we find ways of dividing ourselves, or getting back to last week's question of who is the greatest, we are falling into hell. It continues. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better that you enter life lame than have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where there is this torment of worms that never dies. For those who don't like creepy crawlies, I guess. And the fire that is never quenched. We get the opposite of this image of offering water and hospitality and love and connection to the other. Jesus' images are visceral and graphic, amen? But clearly, it's an invitation to self-evaluation. It is not about cutting somebody else's foot off. It is not about taking somebody else's eye out. It is not about taking away somebody else's hand, amen? Scholars call it hyperbolic. I'm not sure. I don't want to talk for Jesus. However, I am clear that it has to do with us evaluating who we are in the world. An invitation to work on ourselves, those issues, those problematic parts of our personhood, those things that can be stumbling blocks and distractions, sources of dysfunction. In agricultural terms, we are being invited to pay attention to what needs to be cultivated and also what needs to be pruned away. That which is not faithful, that is which is not fruitful. This means that there are parts of our personhood that inflicts hell on ourselves and the world around us. That space, again, of disconnection between God and others, that space that can torment both ourselves. Somebody knows what it's like to be in hell and be alive. It's not okay, Jesus is saying, to ignore that. It's not okay to say, well, other people will just get over that part of me. I'm supposed to be this way. Well, if you know that it is actually causing broken relationship between you and God and other, maybe not. This means that we have the ability to be brave enough to actually grow and change. And I say this for every person at every age spectrum, because I have heard some older folks be like, well, I'm too old. Bull. I won't say the other word. It is not true. If there is breath in your lungs, you can change and grow. Amen? If there is breath in your lungs, you are changing and growing. It is the call to be fruitful and faithful and accountable in that work. Earlier in this series, we were discovering and mining some of the gifts of the cultivated ministry work that Next Church has put together. And it's been inviting Christian communities to assess the works beyond bucks and butts. But what does it mean to do work as the body of Christ that is both faithful and fruitful? There was an invitation to look at the intersection of theology, you know, the ways in which we can name that God is present in the world, storytelling, our own sense of participating and witnessing to the story of Christ now, learning what is it that we are called to grow and learn and see in ways that we wouldn't if we haven't participated, and also accountability. I mentioned that previously, and I almost heard some groans. Accountability is not a word we tend to say is a gift, but I guarantee you it is. Amen? The invitation in this passage is to be accountable to yourself. If there is something not working, you don't get to sit there in that non-workingness and be like, well, yep, that's just not working. You can be a part of the growth and the healing and the beauty and the love and the wholeness and the wellness in this world. I invite you to take in a breath of the Holy Spirit. Let's do it again. One more time. It's been my sense that we are in a space as individuals and as a collective in which things are shifting. It's happening globally, but it's also happening within ourselves and within ourselves. And so I want you to grab that sticky note. Everyone have one? And a pen. And I have an invitation to write. It can be two words, three words, four words, could be a little. But I have a very... And this can be one of many, so you may have more that you want to write down later. The question is, what is an area of your life that you sense God calling you to tend, calling you to cultivate, calling you to till or grow or care? What's a part of your life that you think God would like for you to put some work in these days? That's all one question. It's just different language to help entry points. So where's a part of your life right now that you sense God saying, yeah, it's time for you to start working on that? Go ahead and write it down on your sticky note. Looks like folks are pretty settled there. And then on the other side, I know there's that part that's sticky, but on the other side, just so you have space, I have one more question, that's all. What is a place within you that you sense it's time to prune? That you just need to let go so that something else can grow better? That you need to release because it's not being fruitful or faithful in these days? Where's a place within you, that you need to prune? Looks like most folks are about done. You can keep working if you need to. For those of you who are done, take your sticky note and put it back into your bulletin for me. And if you're sharing a bulletin, you could put it with somebody else. And now it looks like everyone's gotten to that point. I want you to leave that bulletin closed, but give it to somebody else. Give it to someone else. And do not open the bulletin that you receive. Everyone trade it with someone. If you need to trade, just raise your hand and I'll make sure we trade with somebody. Okay, looks like everyone has. Do you need someone to trade with?
Yep.
Excellent. Now we're going to take about 2 to 3 minutes, and I want you, in whatever style you feel comfortable, if you're a silent prayer, pray silently. If you're one who speaks out loud, pray out loud. I want you to pray for the prayers and the discernment and the thoughts of the person who's answered the questions that are inside of your bulletin that you're holding now. Does that make sense? I want you to take a moment and pray for each other. Let us pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. I invite you to give those back to the people who they belong to when it comes to their prayers. There is something beautiful about praying for one another. Amen. When we are internally unsettled, we struggle for peace and we tend to lash out to the other, but there is a way through Christ in which we can reflect in our ministries a care for those we are called to walk alongside. We can do it differently. We can learn from the disciples that we need not struggle for who is greater over and above and against each other, but we can come alongside each other. To do so cultivates peace. My prayer is that we reflect in our ministries what it means to come closer to God and show less and less hell in this world, that we may be light and be salt in the world. Jesus' words at the complete of our passage are these: salt is good, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it season? Have salt in yourselves. Be at peace with one another. May we indeed be so and do so. And all God's people said, Amen.